listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
I want to share, if I can, for a few minutes on the helper. And matter of fact, we're going to be dealing with as a subject as help. How many of y'all need help? I think we may even have, helper. We need a helper. And one of the things we don't do intentionally is on Sundays we seldom preach intentionally on like gifts and the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And we are, by the way, full gospel. I mean, we are charismatic. We do believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We do operate there. But generally, we isolate Sunday morning intentionally to make sure we're getting salvation taught and preached. Our problem is we don't have other nights because of being in this facility to be able to teach and preach on the Holy Spirit. So me being old school, I'm going to bust loose on Sunday morning from time to time and talk about the Holy Spirit. So we just got through resurrection, and I got concerned about what you think Jesus is doing after he's resurrected. He's up to something, whether you know it or not, and we're after Easter, and we're moving somewhere, and I just wanted to find out about Jesus. And the other thing I got to looking at is we got a lot of people needing help. I mean, I'm just telling you, Faye is with us today, and what a blessing to have her. But I'm telling you, she's right on the edge of death, just in a car accident and just a horrible issue in her life physically. And just to see her here among us, visiting with us, she's got a home church, but visiting with her sister and brother-in-law and being with us today, Faye, it's good to have you. But I'm just telling you right now, Faye needs a helper. And some of you in here, when I mentioned earlier about having problems, how many of y'all know we all have problems? We all fight that mind game and the devil and temptations. And you holier-than-thou suckers up in here that are liars that tell me you never are tempted, you never have a problem. I'm going to help you right now. You ain't got much of Jesus. Because if you got some Jesus in you, you're going to have some temptation. Because the devil doesn't want you functioning. He doesn't want you operating. He already knows. Well, go with me in your Bible. We're going to run today. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit being the helper. While you're going in your Bible, run to John 14. We'll go there. I am going to deal with salvation and the Spirit and salvation, but go to John 14 right now. I want us, if we could, to play a song. How many do I have in here that are 60s rock and rollers? Besides myself. Come on, somebody. All right. How many of you are 70s? Discoers. Yeah. Ridiculous. Stephen, put your hand down, man. Man. I don't even know what y'all were in the 80s. I quit counting in the 80s and 90s. That was ridiculous. Listen, I got this song that came with my heart. Now y'all gonna think he is so dumb. He's trying to be spiritual today and preach about the Holy Spirit, and he's off the wall with some 60s number that he came up with. But would y'all just humor the old man a minute and let me go back in a few years back and hear a song? The Beatles sang it. Maybe you'll remember it. Maybe.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Younger, so much younger than today. I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a gentle mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being around. So much younger.
See, I'm going to get some of y'all listening to Oldie Station now. You're going to say, man, I like that. I'm going to start listening to Oldie Station. By the way, Chelsea, next time he gets up and make announcements, you write that down for him, help him out a little bit. He was struggling up here this morning. That song, I listened to it. I thought, you know, it's good there are no cuss words in it and doesn't talk about going to bed with anybody. But I listened to those words, and I got to thinking, hey, isn't that like us, though? We do need help, and we've come through life, and we've gotten to a point that we didn't think we needed help. Whether y'all know it or not, there are ages that you go through and epics in your life when you don't think you need any help. Oh, you're not amen. I mean, like you need to, but you know there are times, and some of you sitting up here right now think, I got it all together. I don't really need any help. I'm going to tell you right now, everybody breathing in this room needs help from God. Everybody in here needs help today. And I'm not saying you're down in a gutter. I'm saying everybody needs help. And I like part of that song that says, help me get my feet back on the ground. And I don't know where you're living today, but a lot of people feel like they've had everything knocked out from under them. That they've lost finances, they've lost their home, they've lost their health, they've lost whatever the issue is, they've lost jobs, we've got issues that are against us. And here's what the Holy Spirit is here for, to help you. The Holy Spirit is here to help you. Matter of fact, I've got something I wanted to read to you later, but I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit because I've got the younger folk in here, and y'all are looking at me like some, you know, old fool for listening to the 60s. How many of you have ever heard of an actress called Megan Fox? Megan Fox. She was one of the stars in Transformers. She was recently on Esquire magazine. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful young lady. How many of you know a singer, a pop star, and her name is Katy Perry? Katy Perry. Anybody know Katy Perry? Okay, I'm kind of helping some of y'all get in touch with y'all know more than I do. Do you mind if I just read something from these two girls? Let me take a second on this. This is about Megan Fox. Listen to this. Megan Fox says that she's been speaking in tongues since she was a child and often has to restrain herself during trips to church. The Transformers star, who was raised as a member of a Pentecostal church, says she used to take part in glossolalia, that is tongues, speaking in other languages, in glossolalia sessions, the muttering of speech like syllables as a form of religious expression from the age of 8 years. Fox admits she's a devout Christian and often feels overcome by religious fervor when she attends church services. She tells Esquire magazine, this is just crazy. She tells Esquire magazine, the energy is so intense in the room that you feel like anything can happen. I have seen magical, crazy things happen. I've seen people healed. Even now, in the church I go to, during the praise and worship, I could feel that I was maybe getting ready to speak in tongues, and I have to shut it off because I don't know what the church would do if I started screaming out in tongues in the back. When she asked how speaking in tongues feels, she says, it feels a whole lot like energy coming through the top of your head. I'm going to sound like such a lunatic, she says, and then your whole body is filled with an electric current. Now, that's not everybody's experience. This is just Megan's. And you just start speaking, but you're not thinking because you don't know what you're saying. It's a language of God. Megan Fox? Megan Fox is in good company with her special ability. Pop star Katy Perry also learned to speak, this is how the world sees it, learned to speak in tongues while growing up with her strict religious parents. The singer previously said, speaking in tongues is as normal to me as pass the salt. My dad speaks in tongues and my mom interprets. It's their gift. Now, sometimes we look at the gift and the power of God and the Holy Spirit, and when we do, we kind of get spooked, and we think, well, this is old school, and that, you know, pastor's going to preach about it because he was brought up in that era, you know, like on old benches, and he talks about the old days. Can I tell you right now, it is hip to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and there's some people that just don't care. I mean, there's some people that just say, we'll tell Esquire magazine, doesn't matter to us. One of the things Megan said in another article, though, she said another reason she doesn't just blurt out in tongues is because someone's going to have a phone on. If you know about that, it'd go viral with her, you know, busting loose in tongues in church. But it interested me. It interested me that these two girls would have interviews with famous magazines that are going to put them places, but then break it down and say, hey, this is who we are. Now, sometimes we forget that, and I just wanted us to get a piece of that because I think we miss some things in the Word of God when we deal with the Spirit of God. You do know in John chapter 3, you don't have to go there, but in John chapter 3, we're going to go to John 14, 1, and then we're going to go to verse 16. But in John 3, verses 3, and then verses 5 through 7, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he said, you need to know that you need to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. And he said, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to be born of the flesh and you've got to be born of the Spirit. So Jesus twice says you have to be Spirit born. So I'm going to help you right now because some people in Pentecostal or charismatic, classical charismatic churches feel like that people that aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit may not be as good as they are. Let me tell you something. If you're born again, you were born again by the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, if I could help you a little bit on this as just subject matter, you were born of the Spirit of God. And, well, I'll tell you now. In John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20, and verse 2 through 22, Jesus, after the resurrection, confronts Peter and John and some of the other guys. Y'all remember that? And the Bible says they came to him, say after the resurrection. Yeah, say after Easter. Yeah, okay, after Easter. Nobody's been saved yet. Nobody's been saved yet. But he appears to them, and the Bible says as he was speaking to them, he says, receive you the Holy Spirit, and here's what the Bible says, and he breathed on them. If you look the word up, the Bible says he pneumatized him. How many's heard of pneumatic tools? What's a pneumonia? Okay, we're not on pneumonia, but it's a different subject. Help me here. Hold her down over her. You're bigger than she is. Hammond's heard of pneumatic tools. It's a tool that runs by air pressure. And it'll just sit on it. It'll sit and do nothing. You can put it on a lug boat and it won't do anything if it's not hooked to air. But you hook that bad boy to air and it functions. So when Jesus breathed, you just keep it as a note in John 20, verses 19 to 22. Verse 22 says he breathed on them and said, receive. Please hear me on this. The Word of God says when he breathed on them, that is the word that he's saying, I'm doing what I'm saying. In other words, he says, receive the Spirit, and he breathed on them. I'm saying it, and I'm doing it. It is the same word used when God, in Genesis 2:7, created Adam, and he breathed on him, and he became a living soul. We were dead from Adam's sin until the resurrection of Jesus. And to get us to live again, somebody had to breathe on us that we become living again. When you were born again and asked Jesus into your heart, God breathed on you, and you became alive on the inside. Listen to me. By the Holy Spirit. So you're not a second-class citizen just because you don't speak in tongues, but I do want to let you know that we do need all that God has purposed for us, and we don't need to be closing the door and closing our minds on things that God's trying to do for us, amen? Or we're going to be on a lug nut with no power to release it. Bear with me, John 14, are y'all there yet? John 14 and verse number 1. I'm going to go to 16 in a minute, but I want to go to 1 first. I like this verse. Well, really, it's verse number 2. Look at verse 2. This is just a revelation that God gave me, and it's called dual revelation. In other words, we know what he's saying, but there could be another word for it, and it won't do harm to Scripture. I want you to hear this in 14:2 of John. Now, you do know that John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, that's the upper room discourse, right? That's the last things Jesus is saying before he leaves. Say upper room discourse. Okay, last things he's saying before he leaves. Listen, one of the ways. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. All right, look to your neighbor and say, they're already there. Okay, right? Am I right? Okay, y'all tracking me? Okay, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Right? But then what does he say? I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I've got a question to ask. What did he have to do? Go make the bed? I mean, I'm just thinking, I'm just reading. I'm reading that the mansions are already there. Are y'all still tracking me? They're all there, ready for us. You do know God is God and doesn't build less than's needed. He's a God of abundance. He built every house and mansion for everybody that would ever get saved. Your mansion was built before you came out of your mama's womb. So, in my world, where Mike Wright lives, I ask a few questions. And one of the questions I ask is this. I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to say, well, if they're already made, then you're preparing a place for us exactly where? And here's a little revelation, and maybe you'll like it, and if you don't, it's okay, because it's not necessarily God. It's something I have, and maybe it works for me and won't work for you. But Jesus said, I am leaving. How many of you know Jesus had time and space? He was here in a physical body. He filled up time and space. He was in a place, and here's what he said. He said, I'm going to leave here, and when I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, you know what we think, at least what most of us think? We think of him leaving. We're all looking that way. He's leaving to go prepare a place. I want you to just get one more thought. What if it's this way? Charlie, come help me. Quickly. I know you'd sleep over on me. Okay. I don't want you grabbing me, throwing me around. He did that last night at the house. I don't need any more of that. Yeah, you weren't protecting yourself. You were being mean. Jason.
Because you have a microphone, I can't.
What if it's this way? What if it's this way? What if Jesus is here and he's getting ready to go and we're called the body of Christ? He breathed in us and we received the Holy Spirit, say God, because you know that the Holy Spirit is God and God is a spirit. And Jesus is here by the Holy Spirit. He's not here by himself. Come on now, help me. He's here by the Holy Spirit. So what if Jesus were saying this? I'm leaving here. I'm leaving my physical space. I'm leaving my place on the earth where my feet walk and where I live and what I do. I'm leaving this. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I go to make a place for you. I'm going to heaven, but I'm making a place for you. Maybe he's not in heaven with hammer nails building mansions. Maybe he's in heaven and he got out of the way so we could have a place on the earth and do the stuff that he did. Fill his space. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says lay hands on the sick. That's why you read that. You read that chapter in verse number 12. It says, and these signs and greater shall you do because I go, I make you a place. I'm just saying, what if? That's the world I live in. Verse number 12. Let's just make a run for it here today. If I don't get it all covered, we'll pick it up. Verse 12. I still have many things. How many of y'all know Jesus didn't get it all said? He didn't get it all said. He didn't say everything he wanted to say. I'm going to tell you one reason, because they were too dumb to hear it. Just like we are. We slow to hear. Come on now. Y'all have had revelation. You've had God speak to you and say, oh, that ain't God. You've been up there at the coffee counter getting a coffee at the hospital, and you're going to get a coffee before you leave, and somebody goes by in a wheelchair, and the Lord says, won't you just reach over and pray for them? Oh, that's not God. They're at a hospital in a wheelchair. Somebody take care of them. I'm just saying, you know. witness to someone, we won't do it. I'm just saying we're slow to hear, so let's watch this. I still have many things to say to you, but watch it. But you cannot bear them now. You cannot bear them when?
Now.
However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come. I want you to see the personality. The Holy Ghost ain't a ghost. Ain't for emphasis. He is the person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. He is God. He worked in creation. The Word is not effective unless the Spirit breathes it. There would be no creation if the Holy Spirit had not been there. He was omnipresent. David said in Psalm 139, the Spirit of God is everywhere I go. If I go to heaven, He's there. If I go to hell, He's there. I can't get away from Him. I'm going to help some of y'all right now. I don't care where you go and your sin and your problem and your weakness, the Holy Spirit will go with you. He's not ashamed of going to a bar. He's already there. He probably does more work in a bar than He does in a church house because He loves people and He wants to draw them back, and you ain't shouting. Oh, I know He's there. I read Jeremiah 23, verse 23 and 24. God said, I am not a God only nearby. I am not a God only nearby. I'm far away. And no one can hide in a secret place. That's your God. I don't care where your baby boy is. I don't care where your baby daughter is. And you're saying, I don't know what's going to happen to them. Can I tell you right now, they ain't a hiding place for them. There's no place they can crawl. There's not a rock they can get under. God says, I'm there. I'm everywhere. I am God. Y'all still tracking me? So the Bible says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. This is verse 13. For He will not speak, now watch, He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. Doesn't that sound to you like Jesus? Didn't Jesus say, I don't speak of my own authority? Didn't He say, I only say what I I hear the Father say. I only do what I see Him do. I want y'all to notice the Holy Spirit works in the same class as Jesus. Stay with me on this. But whatever He hears, He'll speak, and He will tell you things to come. I love this verse 14. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine, and He will declare it to you. In verse number 16, a little while, and you'll not see Me, and a little, and again a little while, and you will see Me, because I go to the Father. What I'm excited about, I'm excited that the fact that Jesus has sent back the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, nobody had a problem with the Holy Spirit. Now in the New Testament, we do. The church we live in, people are always talking about that. You talk to some people and they say, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Oh, I got the Holy Spirit when I got saved. I understand that. But then some of us, we're going to argue with that. If someone says, I got the Holy Spirit when I got saved, they some charismatics and Pentecostals that hang out in church, they're going to say, well, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Well, let me help y'all. If they born again, baby, they got the Holy Spirit. They got the Holy Spirit or they're not saved. They got the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. Amen? Their spirit is born again. Therefore, the Holy Spirit resides. There's a difference in having the Holy Spirit residing and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus used the Holy Spirit in two ways. He used it for salvation and He used it for infilling. He had two ways to use it, and Jesus used it in both ways. As a matter of fact, and I'm not going to preach all of this to you, but I will just let you know that men in the Old Testament were moved on by the Holy Spirit. Bezalel in Exodus 31 was empowered. He's the one that was going to build the temple, and God, the Bible says, and the Spirit came on him and filled him, and then he had gifts of art and being able to work and make things with his hands for the temple. Then the Bible says, Deuteronomy 34, that Joshua was filled with the Holy Spirit after Moses dies off, and Joshua's filled with the Holy Spirit. Spirit. And then the Bible says Gideon in Judges 6 was filled with the Spirit. Even David said this. David said this in 2 Samuel 23. He says, the Holy Spirit spoke by me. So David had an anointing. I just don't get it. Why is it in the Old Testament we're all about it's okay? We get in the New Testament and someone wants to give a prophetic word or sing a prophetic song. What my wife did was not interrupt the song service, but what she did when she began to sing about the Lord was present, majesty, and something, whatever it was good. The King is present. Yeah, it was just very good. Well, that was prophetic for us. We sang. And God is in the room, and then God moves on someone, and this sister gets a song. And the Bible says we will sing spiritual songs. And she sang a spiritual song, and then Jamila gets with her, and she sings it back to her. So they had this kind of antiphony working here back and forth, and that was just singing. And I'm just saying, the Bible says angels do that. Yeah, I'm saying the angels do it. It's in your Bible. They are around the throne and they sing holy, and another side sings holy, and they go holy and holy. It's kind of like doing a football game. You know, like red and green or whatever your colors are, just saying. And they do that. We had it in our church service this morning. So I'm just saying it's not spooky. We all made it through and everybody's good for it. And then 2 Peter 1:21, the Bible says that for prophecy, talking about all the prophets of the Old Testament, he says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were, listen to this, moved by the Holy Spirit. So I'm just saying, it was the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Now, how many of you know that Jesus was, does someone have the time just so I can have it? I got real smart aleck with that, and I need to back up. No, I've got plenty of time. I'm good. Is anybody going to go to 101 today? Does anybody need 101? We got one 101. Anybody else need 101? All right, you're getting last night's sandwiches. It's good with me. We had a leadership meeting, pastors and leaders at the house, and so they had sandwiches, and they said they'd just give us. My wife said we get leftovers today. How many of you know that Jesus, how many of you guys know that Jesus was the baptizer in the Holy Spirit? Okay, listen, if something's mentioned in one of the Gospels, it's good. If it's in two of the Gospels, it's important. If it's in three of the Gospels, God really means, now He always means what He says. I mean, He's really getting your attention. But in the Gospels, for Him to put the same words, same story in all four Gospels, you need to back up and punt right about there and say, He really means business. God wants us to get this. If you read in Matthew chapter 3, you can read it later, but I'll just give you this. In Matthew chapter 3, whenever Jesus is coming to be baptized by John, how many remember John the Baptist? He's in the water, and he says, oh, there's one coming after me, the latchets of whose shoes I'm not worthy to open up. And when he comes, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. How many of y'all remember that message? He said, oh, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world is coming. And he said, I didn't know him. Now, that's people have said, do you think John, because he was related to Jesus' cousin, do you think he knew about Jesus? John himself says, I didn't know him. I really didn't get all this, but today it's making sense to me. The Lamb of God is coming. He's the one, I can't do his shoes. He needs to be baptized in me. But bear with me right now. Run with me to a quick verse. Can y'all run? All you alert people, run. You slower folk, just, you know, like get a CD. John 7:37. Just run with me. John sees Jesus coming. Now, it's in Matthew 3. If you read it, it's also in Mark chapter 1. You're going to John 7. In Mark chapter 1, it's there again. And here's what he says. He says, and this one that's coming after me, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Say baptize you. Okay, so that's twice we've heard Jesus' job is to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, John is wanting to get baptized right now. But the problem is, listen closely, there is no Holy Spirit to be baptized with right now. Now, you read your Bible. You never had Father and Son operating at the same time on the earth. Not many amens there. The Godhead never did gang up on the earth. They never just ganged up on the earth. There was always one or the other that operated in their particular ministry at a time. One would be revealed at a time to be in operation. The Word and the Spirit and the Father, and they operate. So you got Jesus. Now He comes and He's the Word made flesh. He's on the earth. But here's what John says. He will baptize you. If you go to Luke chapter 3, He says it all again. The one that's coming after me, greater than me, He will baptize you. And then in, if you go Matthew, Mark is 1, Luke is 3, John is chapter 1. If you go to John chapter 1, you find the same thing again. Four times in your Bible, it's mentioned that Jesus is coming and He's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. We get up here in the New Testament age and look like, you know, a calf at a new gate. I mean, we're looking like, what is this? A deer in the headlights. We're looking like it's strange that someone's going to be baptized in the Spirit. Nobody thought it was weird in the Old Testament. Nobody thought it was weird when John was preaching it. But then you're going to find out that this Spirit comes down on Jesus. Now, John said this, the one that's going to baptize you is the one on whom the Spirit comes on and resides, stays with him. He's not coming and going like he did in the Old Testament. Somebody's coming, and that's going to get on him. How many of y'all do know this? And I am going to John 7. How many of y'all know that Jesus did no miracles? He did not preach. He did no miracles. He did not preach. He didn't heal anybody until after the Spirit came on him. He's 30 years old, and he is getting baptized. And I'm thinking at 30, you should have been preaching somewhere along in here. You ought to at least, you know, heal something like, you know, toothache, anything. But Jesus does nothing. And he doesn't do it. Listen to me. He doesn't do it until he's filled with the Spirit. The Bible said the Spirit came down. God said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Spirit came on him. It came on him. And the Spirit is now on this man, Jesus. Jesus is a flesh man living a life like we live, but now he's got the Holy Spirit. Here's your other scripture you can write down. Is Acts 10:38 says how God, this is Peter preaching to Cornelius, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil. Jesus did not do one miracle until he was baptized in the Spirit. Amen. Just in your Bible. I mean, it's there for you to see. Look in John 7, because there's another problem we've got about this Holy Spirit operating with Jesus on the earth and Him being the only one that has the resident Spirit in Him. Listen to this. Are y'all in John 7, 37? Now check me out on this one. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out saying, if anyone, here's your key word, circle it, underline it, highlight it, use your little electronic device and save it. I don't care what you do. But anyone thirst, let me help some of y'all that ain't gonna get nothing. Was that enough double negatives I worked you on? You're not going to get anything from God because you need it. God knows what I need before I ask. It's not need that moves God. It's what we're going to do with our faith. I want you to watch this word, because the Bible says, he that thirsts. Someone's got to create a thirst. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I got some salt thrown on me this morning from this platform as the praise team led us in worship and praise. I got thirsty. I got to wanting God. I wanted Him to show up. I needed His anointing. Listen to this. Anyone who thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I'm going to say this to you. The Bible makes it clear that you can be a believer and not be baptized in the Spirit. There's a difference in having the Spirit and being full of the Spirit. Do you know that there are degrees or measures in the Word of God? The Bible says little faith and great faith. The Bible says we were given the Spirit by measure. So I'm just saying, there are measures. And there is a place, Ephesians, if you want to write another verse on Ephesians 5:19 or 5:18 says this. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Right? Well, who's he writing to? Christians. Ephesians 5:18 is the Christians. Be filled. Touch your neighbor and say, be filled. All right. See, they didn't say be saved. You already be saved. You're not trying to be saved. You be. My question is, do you be filled? I know you be saved, but the question is not saved. The Spirit wants to fill you, to give you power, supernatural anointing that breaks bondages, that sets people free, that heals the sick, that raises the dead, that casts out devil. That kind of an anointing is what happens for people that are filled with the Spirit. But verse 39 is the problem. This is the hang-up. This is the bite. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Now watch this. Whom those believing, they're already believers. Are y'all tracking me now? They're already believers. Whom those believing in Him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, if you read in the 14th chapter, and we just read it, let's go one more time, John 14. We'll just stay in John. Now, I want you to keep one note on this. In verse 39, Jesus has got to get glorified before the Holy Spirit can come back. All right, y'all tracking me on that one? You know what it says? This he spoke of the Spirit that wasn't yet given. Are y'all still with me? Who gives the Spirit? Jesus does. But it's not given yet. Why? Because Jesus has got to get glorified before He can give this. Y'all still with me? All right. Let's run to John 14 one more time and let's look at this. Let's get one more verse here again in John 14. Let me get the right one we want to get in here. Look at verse number 16. Well, 15 and 16. If you love me, keep my commandments. You listen to verse 16. And this is Jesus speaking. This is all red letter in your Bible, by the by. So it's all red letter. This isn't Mike Wright trying to, you know, dupe you on something. And I will pray the Father, and He will, watch me now, give you, here's your key word, another helper. How many of y'all need a helper? Yeah. Okay. Here's your key word is another helper. Now, listen to me. That's not another, like, this one isn't enough, so I'm going to give you another one with Him. See, that's what we get to think, and we think of words. So in our English thinking, our American mind, if you're giving me another one, that means I got one, you've given me another one, right? That's how we think. That's not what that is. That word there in the Greek is allos, A-L-L-O-S. Allos doesn't mean you're now going to have two. Here's what he says. I'm going to give you another one. I'm leaving, Peggy. I'm leaving. I'm not going to be here. I'm leaving. But when I go, God is going to give you A-L-L-O-S, another one just like me. There's another one just like me. And He's going to come with you, and He's going to be your helper. I'm leaving. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to the right hand of God. I'm about to pour out the Spirit. I'm getting glorified so I can do that John 7:39 thing, pour out my Spirit on you. I'm going, and when I go, Allos is coming. Who is Allos? Just like Jesus. I'm going to help y'all right here. That's why some of us are so weak and anemic in our walk with Christ. And we say stupid things. Now, stupid may not be in your vocabulary. I'll help you learn it. We say things like, well, if Jesus were here, Jesus already told you He ain't here. Yeah, but if He were here, I'd really believe. But look, let me just tell you, He ain't coming. Believe is not about you seeing Jesus. He's already told you who's here. I mean, it's clear in your Bible. I'm leaving. I'm going. I'm out of here. But I don't leave you as orphans, He says. I leave you with Allos. I leave you with one just like me. I leave you with a devil casting dead, raising sick, healing, anointing. I'm leaving you with Him. Amen? Say helper. We need a helper. Go with me quickly to John 16. Are y'all still okay? Now, you got to get saved, born again. We're not talking about born again. Born again is by the Spirit also. And the Bible says when you're born again, you become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things have passed away. Behold, all things is made new because I become a new creation. Old Adam is dead, new Adam's created because Jesus breathed in me. Right? Look in John 16 very quickly for a couple of verses, verses 12 through 15. I'm in the New King James today. Hope you're all cool with that. If you're not, like, you know, get enlightened on something else. I know you will. How many of y'all do electronic Bibles? I love them. Hot dog, I love them. They're great. Verse 12. Y'all with me? I still have many things to say to you. I've already read this. I want you to hear this. So I have many things to say to you that you could not bear them. However, when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. Say revelator. He will not speak of his own authority, but what he hears, he'll speak, and he will tell you of things to come. Say revelator. All things, verse 15, that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Say interpreter. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit's job is. To give revelation, to interpret, and to administrate. How do I get the gifts of the Spirit? They in you if you're filled. Yeah, but which one is mine? Look at me. Let me tell you something. All of them. Yeah, but I thought I had a special anointing. You may walk in a season when an anointing is working in you more than another. Many people that get healed of certain diseases seem to have an affinity or an empathy in their heart for people with the same problems and therefore operate more closely to that line of healing. I get that. But generally speaking, all of the gifts are given, and we're not going to deal with that today, but all of the gifts are given to you, and the Spirit gives them out as He wishes. He administrates. So the Holy Spirit is revelator, interpreter, and administrator. Now, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the second phase. It is the second phase of a two-phased anointing. Salvation is more than missing hell and going to heaven. Salvation is getting your feet back on the ground. It's how am I going to walk in this life? A part of the salvation package is one, Jesus breathes in me and I'm a new creature. Two, I'm going to be filled with that Spirit and operate as Jesus did. Was Jesus the Son of God when he was 29? What, are y'all coming to say a trick question? Was he Son of God when he was 15? Was he Son of God when he was 6 months old? Was he the Son of God when he was in his mama's womb? Was he the Son of God when the Holy Ghost conceived him? Was he the Son of God before he got baptized in water? Okay. He's the Son of God. To be the Son of God, then you have to have the Spirit of God. But yet when he got baptized, he received the Spirit of God. But you just told me he was the Son of God. Look at me, let me tell you something. You can be a son and daughter of God and not be filled with the Spirit of God. You can be a son of God, have the Spirit of God in you, but not filled, not that overflowing, not that coming out of you like a river. That happens when he gets glorified. Isn't that what we read in 7:39 of John? Yes. Y'all tracking me? Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to breathe on you, and you're going to receive. You're going to be born again. You're going to have a new life. I'm breathing that new Adam in you, and you're going to be new. And it takes the Spirit to do that, born of the flesh and born of the Spirit. So this is being regenerated, new creature. But when I get to the Father, I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit very quickly. I want to run. What time is it now? It was 11:15, my last check. What are we doing? Wait, one said till and one said something after. Y'all have got me totally confused. I'm 32, okay, great. 24:9 of Luke, 24:49 of Luke. Very quickly, I want to run through about four scriptures. Luke 24:49, and I want to talk about Jesus being glorified. When he was on the earth, he could not baptize anybody in the Holy Spirit. What did he say? I can't do this until I get glorified. But baby, I'm going to. I can't do it, but I'm going to. Watch quickly with me. Luke 24:49. Behold, I see, my wife says, my son Gabriel is a great preacher, a great man of God. And he reads the word. And every time he reads the word, he says, I see leadership. That's what he sees. He reads the word and sees leadership. He says, but my dad, Pops, he reads the word and all he sees is Holy Ghost. It is true. I mean, I was just telling you, I've done this all of my ministry life. Every time I read, everything I see is just about this anointing of the Holy Spirit. So it always, you know, I don't know if that's old school or just the anointing that's on my life, what I see. Look in 49. Verse 49, behold, I send the promise. Watch it close. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He's already breathed on them, folk. They've already received the Spirit. They're already born again. Well, how do you know they're born again? Because the Bible says the world cannot receive the Spirit of God. They can't receive the Holy Spirit. They can't be baptized. The world can receive the Spirit by salvation, but they can't be baptized. Watch this. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from up on high. Go to Acts 1:5. Go to Jerusalem, hang out, watch Acts 1:5. This is interesting to me, and maybe you've seen it. I just saw it recently for the first time, and I read this book a lot. Verse number 5 says, for John truly baptized with water. Now listen to Jesus. He's picked up on these gospel messages. But you shall be what? Baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In other words, Jesus begins to identify himself with being the baptizer. Right? Matter of fact, let me show you one more scripture that I think is pretty neat. Look in verse number 2. This is a sidebar. It has nothing to do really with the message so much, but I think you'll be of interest maybe. This is chapter 1 of Acts. Watch verse number 1. The former account, this is Luke, the former account made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Now watch this. Until the day in which he was taken up. After he, how? Through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles who had chosen him. Do you see that even after his resurrection, it was the power of the Holy Spirit that gave him the ability to speak? Yes. After the resurrection, when he told him to go wait, it was by the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus never did anything without that power. I'm just saying. So anyway, he says, I want you to go and I want you to be filled with the Spirit. So let's go to Acts 2:4 if you don't mind. Well, go to Acts 2:1 and I'll read quick. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord, one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole place that they were sitting. And then there appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled. I've got a video. We've got a few minutes. Do y'all mind taking about a 5-minute video break? Yeah, I don't know about y'all, but I'll Google sometimes and I get embarrassed Googling. But I Googled Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues, I think. I just Googled it. Because usually you get about 10 hits that all say it's of the devil. And I'm just saying, I Googled in and I got about a half a dozen of them first off that were talking about the power and the glory and the anointing. And then I found one that is in the context is on YouTube, and it's a doctor. It's a doctor in Philadelphia that has some believers in, and he says, if this is really God, let's just see how it affects your brain. Now, you do know your front lobe, if y'all hadn't had a whatever those are, that they stick that stuff up in your eye and knock out your frontal lobes, lobotomy. If you hadn't had one, then you've got this frontal lobe. That's where you think to speak. That's where you think to speak, okay? So he said, if these people are really speaking in spirit language, then it's going to have to negate or bypass the frontal lobe. Because to speak, you got to fire the frontal lobe. Right? Can y'all check this out and just see what I found? I think it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. It was cool. It used to be cool. Here we go. Yeah, this is it.
Thanks for watching our internet edition of Nightline. I'm Martin Bashir. Today we examine the Christian practice of speaking in tongues. Those outside the church often say it's nothing more than gibberish, but some Christians claim that it's the purest form of prayer beyond the constraints of normal language. Nightline's Vicky Mabry reports on the science of speaking in tongues.
He said It is an ancient practice mentioned in the Bible. St. Paul called it speaking in the tongues of angels. Jesus' apostles were first said to do it at Pentecost. The technical term is glossolalia. Most people call it speaking in tongues.
There's a vast number of people out there that because they did not personally experience it or have been taught against it all their lives, there's no way they have an ability to embrace it. So that's common. We're still mocked and made fun of.
That's not stopping Pastor Jerry Stoltzfus or others in his congregation at the Freedom Valley Worship Center in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, from using what they say is a God-given gift.
It's almost as if I'm able to tap into God's heart and what he wants.
I get goosebumps, actually.
You can feel him all around you, and you can feel him speaking through the words that you're saying.
It almost sounds like a foreign language, but actually, those who speak in tongues are not saying anything in any known language.
With the gift of tongues, I can trust the Holy Spirit to figure out what needs to be healed. He will use what sounds like gibberish, like any other language sounds like gibberish. He will interpret that for his purposes and his uses.
We say things in our own English language, but speaking in tongues is a heavenly language that we're going to God. And Jesus intercedes for us.
They say they have no control over what comes out of their mouths, that they're swept up in a rush of ecstatic religious feeling, and that the Holy Spirit is speaking through them. Do you hear yourself?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I think I sound like a total idiot.
It's almost all in yellows and red here.
At the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Andrew Newberg is looking for an explanation for what most regard as unexplainable.
I mean, it's not language. It's not regular language, at least, that would normally activate the frontal lobe.
Newberg is exploring the relationship between faith and science, studying what happens in the brain during the deepest moments of faith.
If we're really going to look at this very, very powerful force in human history of religion and spirituality, I think we really have to take a look at how that affects our brain, what's changing or turning on or turning off in our brain.
They're going to go around very fast right now.
He's recently published a study of Americans speaking in tongues. Remarkably, he discovered that what's happening to them neurologically looks a lot like what they say is happening to them spiritually.
Make sure we got your whole head in there.
We asked Pastor Jerry Stoltzfus to come to the university to have his brain scanned while he speaks in tongues. This way, we could see the experiment in action.
I don't think faith is anything to be afraid of from science. Science validates faith. So bring it on. Whatever the facts are, bring it on.
Just go ahead and you can begin prayer. And
first, he's told to pray in English.
Father, I pray for each of the family members involved in this study. Grant them what they are looking for in their personal lives, for their vision and their potential.
Then he's told to speak in tongues.
This is the first scan when he was in prayer, speaking in English. This is the second scan when he is praying in tongues.
Pastor Stoltzfus' scan showed that his frontal lobe, the part of the brain that controls language, was active when he prayed in English. But for the most part, it fell quiet when he prayed in tongues.
When they're actually engaged in this whole very intense spiritual practice, religious practice for them, their frontal lobes tend to go down in activity, but I think it's very consistent with the kind of experience that they have, because they say that they're not in charge. It's the voice of God, it's the Spirit of God that's moving through them.
Dr. Newberg says the results were even more dramatic on subjects who were scanned without a Nightline crew in the room and who were not speaking in tongues on demand, as Jerry Stoltzfus had done. Study participants like Donna Morgan first listened to music, then went to where the Spirit took them.
Yes,
When I heard about the study, I already knew within my spirit that it was going to be proven that there's a part of our brain that we have no control, that when the Holy Ghost is interceding for us, we're out of control.
In earlier studies, Dr. Newberg looked at what happens in the brains of Buddhist monks meditating and Franciscan nuns praying. And it was noticeably different from what happens to tongue speakers.
That's in fairly stark contrast to the people who are like the Buddhists and the Franciscan nuns who are in prayer, because they are very intensely focused. And in those individuals, the frontal lobes actually increased activity.
But Dr. Newberg isn't out to prove or disprove anything. He can tell you what happens in the brain, not why.
Were you skeptical going into the studies?
If by skeptical, the question is, is this a real phenomenon, meaning that this is truly the voice of God speaking through them? That's a much more problematic question, I think, and something that I'm not sure that we've specifically answered simply by doing our study.
But for those who believe, it doesn't matter if science can find the footprints of the Holy Spirit in their 21st century brain scans.
When you've experienced this, you don't really care what anybody else thinks. It's personal for, in the first place. It is something between you and God. So we don't really care if it's validated or not, but it's fascinating when it is, so that people that have thought we're crazy can have something to look at to say, maybe we're not. We're still crazy. We're just not as crazy as they thought.
Thank you so much.
This is Vicki Mabry for Nightline in Philadelphia.
Right. The gray area where all fact right. meets.
I just wanted to give you all that and let you see, because sometimes in church we just try to make everything so spiritual and out of the book, which is good, but then we sit by and we hear things on the street and people tell you what the doctors say, and I thought, man, let's just see what they do say. And I listened and watched that. Now, one thing they repeated a couple of times that I disagree with, or at least it needs to have an interpretation to it, and that is out of control, the word out of control. The idea is God gives you the words and you speak them, just like when they ask the pastor to speak in tongues, he started that. So you can speak or not speak, that's your choice. But the generated words or the verbiage comes from God. That's what shuts down the activity of the frontal lobe, is you're not picking them up because you got to figure them out. You're getting them because God is giving you the what to say. And so I just thought I'd give that to you. I thought maybe it'd be interesting, because the Bible says that, and when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, they all began, verse 4 of 2 of Acts, they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. So it's God's job to give the utterance. Now, let's go back to one more thing, and that is Jesus being the baptizer, okay? The resurrected Jesus inbreathed the Spirit. The glorified Jesus outpoured the Spirit. Now, I want you to see this. Look in the 32nd and 33rd verses of Acts 2. We're still in Peter's message. Listen to this, and we're going to be wrapping this message up this morning. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we're all witnesses. Therefore, now watch what it says about Jesus. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God. You can put glorified in your margin if it's not already there. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God. Now watch this. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Watch what he does. He poured out this which you now see and hear. The resurrected Jesus could inbreathe the Spirit. The glorified Jesus pours out the Spirit. Amen? And I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I need a helper. When Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, in Ephesians 5:18, he's talking to Christians. He's not talking to heathen. He's talking to brothers and sisters. Here's the other thing he says in verse 16 of that same chapter 5 of Ephesians. He says, redeem the time. Now, how many of y'all know if you could redeem the time, you would? Oh, don't look at me like that. That's why you dye your hair. You get all those colors working because you're trying to redeem the time. How many of you know you cannot redeem the clock? It's gone, baby. I mean, it ain't coming back. I look at my clock, and I'm thinking, I got more time behind me than I do in front of me. Used to, it was the other way around. I'm just saying the clock has switched on me. So I'm just saying that. But how can I redeem the time? I can't get anything back. Listen to me. I can't get Jesus walking. I can't go back on his second year of ministry. I can't do that. Here's what I can do. I can redeem the kairos. The word time, there's kairos. Not chronos. Not chronos. Not sun time. Kairos, event-oriented. How many of y'all would stay and watch a basketball game if it was down to 75-75 and it was in the last, whatever it would be, 78-78, and it's down and they got, time goes out and they say it's a tie game, we're going to have an overtime. Do they have overtime basketball? I don't know. I don't watch that basketball, no. Y'all all about the Sweet 16, got the finals coming up. All right. Great. Whatever. Tomorrow. The point I'm getting at is the game is time limited, right? Football or basketball, baseball, it's time limited. But when you move into, say, overtime, overtime, you're no longer in the game. That's gone. That game's over. That game's over. What about the score? I get the score. The game's over. You're now in what's called overtime. Kairos. Now watch this. I can have the score of the game because I'm in Kairos. I redeem it and pull it out of time and get it into Kairos. Now work with it in Kairos. I take it out of time and bring it into the event. Do you understand that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was a time frame? It happened. We've got time. We know when it happened. But I don't have to go back to the cross to find him. I can reach back into Chronos time because I'm in Kairos. I'm in an event with God. I'm in that overtime event. Can I tell you about being spirit baptized? We're not waiting to go back and be that. Well, we're a new church. We're different. Look, I'm going to tell you something. We are living in the event of the coming of the Lord. We're living in the event of the pouring out of the Spirit. Even though it was 2,000 years ago, we're still in overtime. So I can operate in that event nowadays because I'm in Kairos. I'm in the event. I'm not on the day of Pentecost, but I'm in the same anointing. I'm in the Kairos. I bring that ball game right up into here. I can bring when Jesus walked and cast out devils in here. I can bring when Peter and John were going to the gate called Beautiful, one of the happiest, saddest stories in the world, that they were going to the gate called Beautiful, and as they were moving toward that gate, the Bible said they saw a sick man there. They just got full of the Holy Ghost, and they saw a sick man there. The Bible said his family parked him outside the church every Sunday or Sabbath day. He's parked outside the church. Look at me, let me tell you something. This man's crippled and ain't never been in a church house. Sad story. Sad story. They didn't bring him in the church. They set him outside the church. All his, Bible said, from his mama's womb. So he's not been going to church. He's been sitting outside the church. That's a sad story to me. I like this Peter and John. They come up and they look at him and they say, they lock eyes with him. And Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ, and Nazareth, rise up and walk, and grabs him and pulls him up. And he starts jumping and shouting and dancing and praising God and goes to church for the first time anointed and healed. Here's what I'm liking. Peter and John hadn't been doing that stuff before, but now that they're filled with the Spirit.
Listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.